Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Grim and Bloody Podcast. This show is a presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk.
Welcome to another episode of the Grim and Bloody Podcast. Glad to have you here. Tonight, we are talking about Sammy Slick, Vampire Slayer, that is streaming right now on Tubi. And we are joined by DeAndre Noir. Welcome to the show, DeAndre.
Hello. Nice to meet everybody. Thank you so much for having me here tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. So talk to me a little bit about Sammy Slick. How's your character? Tony Shock and Awe. I love that name, by the way.
So I actually got that role. I met the director at one of the film festivals. He had saw another one of my films, Shape of the Past, and he actually wrote that character in for me. So Tony Shock and Awe was initially supposed to be kind of like a Terminator-esque type character. But when I read the script, I asked him, you know, can I make a bunch of creative choices and changes and whatnot, which is what you saw in the movie. So I wanted him very almost manic, very full of himself, very fun, you know, just give him something to remember. And so just kind of crafting that character and mixing him with my own personality, that's kind of how he came out. And I had a blast filming that. We shot it in Ybor. Over the course of, I think, 2 weeks. But I had so much fun with that character.
Now, I had to say that I just watched it today, and I had such fun with the cast, and it seemed to come across the screen that the cast was just having a really good time, especially not just yourself, but Klein Wong.
As
Sammy, and he has that kind of off-the-cuff sense of humor. About him. I like it that he considers himself just another guy at the office who happens to be vampire hunting.
Yeah, that was the first time me and Klein and Ariella worked together, and they are just fantastic. Great actor, great actress, and you know, just a great people on and off the screen. So we were able to bounce off of each other with roles, and everyone was just having a great time. A lot of the takes that we had to do was just because we kept making each other laugh so much.
Now those teeth, that y'all were wearing, those things look good. They don't. I've had a problem with some films, even like big budget productions in the 70s and so forth, where the fangs looked so jaw-droppingly fake. It is not here. That doesn't happen here. These the fangs actually look real. How do you work around that as an actor?
So funny enough, I'm a lot into the gothic and like vampire culture. So I actually had a custom made set previously before we even started filming. But the fangs that we used, they were these like FX fangs. You mold them to your teeth, and they looked pretty good. I mean, for the most part, everyone had a decent amount of time talking with them, and I was already used to them, so I was telling people which ones to buy and to get. So they weren't as bad as you think they were. You can still talk with them, you can drink with them, not so much eat, but they're pretty comfortable.
Right, I remember people like Christopher Lee, the great Dracula in the 50s, absolutely, and 60s, and William Marshall Blackula in the 70s, said that they had the most difficult time trying to do a monologue or trying to speak with fangs in their mouth. And Christopher Lee tried to do, you know, as much dialogue as possible without the fangs, because every time it sounds off. Every time you have the fangs on, you're trying to say, you're trying to be legible,
right
basically.
Yeah, I think that was I think that they've definitely stepped up the production value of those fangs over the years.
True. And you know, those teeth have gotten much better, I guess, nowadays. compared to back in our day, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Don't date yourself now.
Dadgummit. 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 These kids get off my lawn.
Mm-hmm. Wag a finger at them.
That's exactly it. As soon as I get my dentures in, I'm going to have something to say.
No, that's the thing. You watch the movies when you're young, and oh my, the killer is going after the young people. And now, the older I get, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to kill them all now. I now identify with the murderer all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel the same way sometimes. You're not alone in that.
Go ahead, Al. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if I could ask, how was working with that lovely lap dancer you got to have in there, in that boulder?
You got a free lap dance while working, man. Come on.
You know, it was definitely something. I'm a modest guy sometimes, so you know, it was definitely a new experience, but you know, enjoyable.
you had to go method actor for that, right? You just had to totally be in the moment.
you know how that goes. You know, somebody's got to do it. You know what I mean?
Don't tell me you went method actor and you were thinking baseball.
Yeah, he just wants to slide home. So
after a long day's work, I could finally take a breath.
I've worked with her on another production, so
okay.
That's why I ask. So yeah, she always seemed nice. I didn't get to spend too much time with her, though.
Are you referring to Sushi?
Yeah, Sushi.
Oh, yeah. Sushi's a fantastic person as well. Like, I can't begin to say every single person on this production was just so nice. And I think that was my first time meeting Sushi. So that was a little bit of a shock there. Because you know it's just, you know, a lot of nudity for most of the time, but no, she's so professional and fantastic and just a fantastic actress as well.
I was talking to an associate of mine that I guess technically back in the day of film he was a clapper, which meant in those days I think it actually meant that since it was still photography, that meant that he loaded the cameras. And he said, you know, he's in his early 20s, and he's like, yay, I'm naked girls. You know, that's for about the first hour and a half, and then it's like, yeah, naked girls. You know, who cares anymore?
No, that was something that I never really had a problem with. I mean, once I get on set, it's all about that, you know, professionalism and respect. So I never really... I tried to stay away from anyone naked as much as possible until we were actually filming, where I actually had to be there.
Now, DeAndre, I have a question for you. We've had a few films that kind of walk the line between cinema and softcore. I think that the most recent being Droid Maid. But in your opinion, how much is too much? How much when you say, how much nudity you say, you know, that's cool, you know, when it's done tastefully, but do you feel at a point that there's enough TNA in a film that it starts taking, you know, the audience attention away from the narrative and they're pretty much just there for that?
I do. I'm all about plot in, you know, in films, and you know, if what you're doing is serving, obviously, you know, there's a point for everything. So if you're you know, nude for a scene, or you know, or if you're, of course, you know, sex sells, so you know, that's a big selling point. But I think that if the nudity and you know, the sexual nature aspect is overshadowing what you wanted the film, I think that, you know, maybe the film aspect wasn't what you're aiming for in the first place.
So that's let me ask you a question. Did when you came on the set, because you indicated sex sells, and it does, and that's kind of, I don't know whether that's a good or a bad part of the filmmaking business, because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I was wondering, right. Did Chris Leto approach you to say, hey, drop your doors? We're gonna do we're gonna do a scene.
No.
We can strip that question from the record.
I'm just having a silly fun.
Not even shirtless. Come on.
We've only been recording for like 6 minutes.
Chris is one of those people that he is also very professional. The first time he approached me, he was one of those people that, you know, it's a factor of the game, but nothing is, you know, dirty on the set per se. So he's actually a really great guy, and we've been moving toward more of a more non-nudity type projects now, just because, of course, you know, sex sells, but that's not the story that, you know, typically we all want to tell, especially, you know, going out to a wider audience. You know, those movies are you know, they're good for certain audiences, but I think if you want to expand, you have to, you know, kind of
let me put it this way then. Let me ask you in a more serious question. Obviously, I was joking
a moment ago,
but if you were approached with a role where you're being called upon to do a bedroom scene or to do a something with minimal clothing on it, would you do it, or is that something that you would have to consider?
I would. I've done that in the past. I think that it is something that, you know, each actor has to, you know, understand what they're comfortable with. For me, I think that if it's pivotal to the plot, it serves a purpose, then, you know, I'm an actor. This is what I do. So I don't have a problem with it at all. If my character is, you know, a sleaze bag, or he's in love, or he's just, you know, just terrible, you know, all those things play a factor, and I'm not going to shy away from, you know, really diving into that mindset, you know.
Right. If you're being asked to play the Joker, you're not going to be asked to all of a sudden play a nice guy.
You know? Exactly. You got to know what you're signing up for, and you can't be afraid to go there. You have to become that character. And if you think that there's anything wrong with what you're doing in that time, then you're not, you know, that character.
Very true. And that is a great answer, by the way, D'Angelo.
Thank you.
Because, yeah, as an actor, in which I am not, thank God, it'd just be like, hey, this is what you're signing up for. Blood, sweat, and tears. Because in all kinds of films, be it drama or especially horror, you're going to get bloody in one way or the other.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I do want to ask, what do you have coming up next?
So I have a couple of new projects coming up. So we have some films that we haven't released yet. So Chris Leto and I actually filmed this, it's called Psycho Science. It's kind of like a horror aspect of that movie from, I think, the 80s, Weird Science.
I was going to say, was this the story of Elon Musk or something?
Yes!
Oh, Kevin's in rare form tonight.
Psycho Science, I'm like, oh, okay. This Psycho is a mad is... Elon Musk.
Oh my God, that was my favorite one. Psycho Elon Musk. Oh God, that's our reality, ain't it?
That's it.
That could be your next movie right there. Elon Musk gets run over and drugged by one of his cars, and the rest of the tech team has to put him back together like Frankenstein, using the brain chip and the other technology that he's created.
You know, I'm gonna write that down.
That's a movie right there.
I'd watch something like that.
I'm gonna make a little note of that.
A little straight for it. Listen, let's crash course this, everybody. Let's get a little think going on.
Now see, I was thinking more of Elon Musk as like, it becomes the mad megalomaniac, one of his tech people, picks somebody and turns them into turns himself into a Terminator, where he has to take on Musk and his army of technology or something like that. We could do something. We could have Arnold make a guest appearance, you know, in it or
something. Okay.
Or
something like that. I'll be back.
You know.
Or have DeAndre as a you know, as a Terminator hero. You know, there.
You know, you're giving me some ideas. I actually kind of like that.
There you go.
Down.
Just to we be give great things, advice like, here. I'll be back.
Let's take some notes here.
You can say stuff like, I'll be back, you know.
You can be a delivery guy. Oh, I forgot it. I'll be back.
So a little slapstick humor. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan for the simplicity.
We have to be careful which catchphrases we use nowadays, because I think The Rock just bought like 100 of them. So we don't want to get sued if we called somebody a jabroni.
Oh boy, I'm sure if we ask nicely, I think that
they'll. Well, they'll only sue if they think you have money. So just make sure you don't buy crap. So
I did want to point out one of the effects when a killing happened. Was I thought it was a pretty cool effect, the disintegration sequences with the characters. Would you be able to spill the beans a little bit about how those came about?
So that is actually Chris Leto's son, Bo Leto. He did all the VFX. He's actually the cinematographer for a lot of our films. So he was up for a while, you know, making the effects, making everything look good. So that's all him. All the credit goes to him for editing and the filming and the cinematography. But he thought of the idea of the ash effect, just give, you know, a little something different, a little bit of flavor to it. And, you know, ultimately we all really enjoyed what came out.
Yes, it is a very good effect.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Blade.
Actually, yeah, that's what we were going for.
I was thinking it reminded me a little bit, maybe it's the Trek fan, but reminded me a little bit of Star Trek with the killings that were done by disintegration by phaser.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, and so that was, but you know, Blade works too, because they both have that kind of disintegration effect. I thought that was actually pretty cool, and I kept saying to myself, with this kind of budget, but they can, you know, they can manage these effects. That takes some doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a technical genius when it comes to that stuff. He's working on some VFX for Psycho Science for this scene where I cut this guy's head off of the garrote, and he's really working that out. So, props to him, because I couldn't do it.
But I want to ask you though too. The next question, you talked about some of your stuff that's coming up. You have a film that is debuting on Tubi March 24th for everybody who has Tubi, and it's called Easter Bloody Sunday.
Easter Bloody Easter.
Oh, Easter Blood. Oh, sorry. Easter Bloody Easter. There you go.
Yes. So that'll be on Tubi, Apple TV. Mm-hmm.
Now, talk about that a little bit and maybe give us like a brief plot synopsis just a bit.
Okay.
And kind of explain your character.
So that role came about, I was on Actors Access. I saw I was all the way in California. So, you know, me being, you know, me, I'm like, I'm still gonna apply for it. See, you know, just, you know, throw it at the wall, see what sticks. They turned out they loved the audition. They flew me out there. I was in California for about a little over a month filming that. So thanks to Diane Foster for that. But. So my character is named Lance. He is the pretty much the estranged husband of Jeannie Cooper, who's played by Diane Foster. And he's been missing for some of the films. So it's essentially about finding him, and also the love story between Jeannie, and also being attacked by, a werejackalope, essentially. So essentially the town has a tradition on Easter. They have like this Easter Palooza, but people start dying and they need to know what's going on. So they understand that there is a this giant were jackalope that is pretty much just taking over all the bunnies in the area. And it's a wild ride. That movie knows exactly what it is. It is a horror comedy, and it's very self-aware, and it's so much fun. I think that was the most fun I've ever had on sets, and that was also my first feature film. We filmed that in August of 2021, so it's finally coming out.
reminds me of a little bit of the cult classic Night of the Lepus.
Oh yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Give me the killer think, bunnies.
The theme song, you know, from Weird Al. It's Weasel Stomping Day.
Yes. Yes.
I keep wondering though if you have a character, you got to have some kind of character in the film who's like the reluctant hero, who's like, you've got a jackalope as like a werewolf slash, you know, jackalope, whatever. I'll kill it.
I warned him about it.
So the hero is Jeannie. She's kind of the badass of the film. So that's gonna be an interesting fight between us. I do have my little showdown with them, and that's oh boy, that was a lot of fun. But it's there's everyone has their time to shine.
Yeah.
I have a decent amount of heroic moments in there.
She's the Sig Weaver, the Sigourney Weaver, you know, yes. Character, you know.
Yes.
Get away from her, you or bitch! You and stuff.
Bitch. Yep. That is her, and she plays that part so well.
Yes, I can imagine. So that's going to be on March 24th. That should be big. We do a lot of business with Tubi, and mm-hmm. you know they've had some great entertainment on their on their channel, and mm-hmm. and so forth, and. I really hope that is a massive success for you and for
Thank
Diane.
Thank you. We do here, appreciate here. It. It's aiming to be pretty good. I mean, we've made it on Variety and Blade Disgusting, so I'm hoping that it'll be. I hope everyone loves it as much as we do.
But come on, the tagline, "Hoppy hunting."
Hoppy hunting. That listen. There's no. There is no. Miscommunication about what you're getting into with this movie. So that is essentially what they were going for. It is, when I tell you that it's crazy, it's fun, it's crazy. There's a dance number that hopefully we get the whole country dancing to. It is a ride.
Uh-oh. Is there any do reference? I hear Megan part two?
You just might.
Is there any reference
in this
film?
Don't be hopping along.
Guys, is there any reference in this film, DeAndre, to Elmer Fudd?
Ooh.
No, any reference, you know?
I wish we would have thought of that. I'm hunting wabbits.
Well, you know, when you have the character, a character just say, you know, just joke around and say, I wada wada wackawo.
You know, listen,
something
that,
like that.
If we wouldn't get, you know, copyright sued for that, I wish...
He's got a speech impediment. It's not his fault. Come on.
He's got a speech impediment.
He's a
That's
fun
how we...
boy.
I'm going to use
you as
my lawyer.
And say, pick a trout. Pick a trout.
That reminds me of the Simpsons. That reminds me on the Simpsons when they spoofed a certain Kubrick film and Stephen King with something called The Shining. And Bart goes, "Don't you mean this? You know, The Shining?" And the groundskeeper Willie says, "Do you want to get sued?"
Breaking the fourth wall. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That is exactly it. Did I tell you that we spew nonsense on this show?
No.
Listen, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
This show is a glimpse into like my thoughts, so it works out really perfectly.
DeAndre's gonna hang up like, "What the fuck was that?"
Right.
He's gonna call Chris tomorrow and say, "You know, Chris, if they ask you to do this show, don't run, run."
Take notes on all the movie ideas.
Yeah, I'll take the notes. Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
I got a lot of those.
But I tell you, we had a good time with. I had a good time with Sammy Slick. I thought Klein Wong was terrific, and I hope to see
Such
more of him
guy.
And yourself in the future.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
he's actually
same.
In
yep.
Psycho Science with us. It's pretty much it's me, Ariella, Klein in Psycho Science, and we're all bringing it and delivering it. So that'll be the next one that you see us in all together.
Hey, big ups to the Army of Darkness poster inspiration,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Who caught that? I did.
I believe that was Chris's idea.
But hoppy hunting is a bit on the nose. Come on, man.
Kevin Kennedy, that guy.
With whiskers.
How many? We could do it. We could do a show just with horror title names that were so on the nose. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Like Silent Night, right. Deadly Night.
Silent Night.
Black Christmas.
Hop along, yeah. Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm. How about
listen, this? Nothing like this. A director's cut.
A good movie.
Oh, yes.
Then who can forget the utmost scariest one, The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen?
Ah.
That was rough. That was a real rough one.
Yeah, that's nightmare fuel.
I will tell you that there's a movie in the 1977, Al would know this, a movie called Shockwaves. And it takes place in a Florida Everglades, a Florida swamp, and it's about underwater zombies. And the tagline for the trailer, the tagline is, "You have now reached the deep end of horror."
They should have just said
literally and figuratively.
Oh, that's Florida. It's sinking as it is. I always like the zombie Nazis in Dead Snow. For the sequel, it says it's the sequel you did not see coming. I like that one. You know they're not taking it too seriously at this point.
Well, I kind of like the idea that that David Zucker, would have when he did the Naked Gun films. He does like the Naked Gun 33 and the third, the final insult, mostly all new jokes.
That's funny.
You know what? Sammy Slick was made in that same vein. Yeah. It's a fun movie.
Surely you just
you can't take it seriously. It's even better if you're drunk.
I for one didn't think the nudity was excessive. The nudity was exactly where the nudity should have been.
And that movie,
I agree.
I mean, the only possible overflow there was the dead naked girl in the bed. She could have been clothed, or she could have been in her bikini or whatever you wear at the strip club. But I was happy to see her naked. Thank you.
See, I was just happy to see nudity. He's like boobies.
That's right. I thank all the girls who have gone out before her and worked hard to expose themselves. And expose themselves to me, especially. I appreciate.
I'll be hitting that explicit tag when I post this.
Thank
one.
You.
Is there any explicit content in that show?
Well, yes. DeAndre, I just want to ask you, after you had your scene with the lap dance girl.
Well, there's two of them actually.
Did you tell the director, hey, I need a moment. Can I?
Give me a towel.
Give me a towel, please.
Listen, I am so. When I'm around anyone nude on set, I'm like a frightened child. I will do my take and I will run upstairs and I'm in like a fetal position. I'm just trying not to disrespect you. I'm like, it took me like 2 weeks to look sushi in the eye.
Did you look down to your lap and say, "You picked a fine time to wake up, hon? You picked a fine time to wake up." Right in the middle of the scene.
Time to leave me, Lucille. That's the advantage of being my age. I'm so far past that. I would be the guy that goes down and gets a cucumber at the market before I go to the set.
Not a cucumber.
Yeah, big old one.
Oh, no. Give yourself some credit.
It's already green. No one uses it anymore. Anyway.
DeAndre, here's the hoping that you do more horror films, you get a lot more work, going on,
absolutely,
and have a nice like 30, 40 year career, at least.
Thank you. Yes. That is the plan.
I think you got the right temperament for it. Certainly, you have the screen presence, and we're going to be watching your next film as well.
Thank you. That means a lot to me,
DeAndre.
Yes, good sir.
Where can people, our listeners, find you on the internet?
So if you type in my name, DeAndre Noir, on Google, my whole page comes up. My whole Google panel comes up. I'm very present on Facebook if you'd like to reach me or chat. Facebook is my big platform there. I'm also on Instagram at DeAndre Noir Official. Pretty much anywhere where people can be found, you can find me.
Thank you.
And folks, you can tell his career is definitely going up. I'm taking a look at his IMDb page, and he's working with Kelsey Grammer.
Yes.
Jesus Revolution.
Yes, yes. That was just in theaters earlier this year.
See, so he's going to be like right up there. He's going to be, you know, saying, hey, Tom Cruise, what's up, bud? What's up, buddy?
Good old Thomas. Yeah,
nice stunt you did, but I can do it better, all right?
Then move aside.
That's it.
Well, DeAndre, thank you very much for stopping by. We appreciate your time answering all of our crazy lunacy questions.
No, thank you all for having me. It's been a real honor. I look forward to speaking with you all again.
Absolutely. And Al, you want to go ahead and take us out?
As you said, thank you for showing up. We are glad to have you, and we'd like to have you again someday. But until
Please
then,
do.
Remember, keep America strong, watch horror films.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good night.